No question about it. Mitch, this is the news according to me.
Mitch McConnell, no question about it. No question about it. Well.
And a fine, happy top of the week to you. We have, it's February 15th already. I say that about every morning, don't I? It's already. Every day just amazes me that it's another day. Because it's another day. Or it's already another day. It seems like just yesterday, it was Sunday. And here it is already Monday. And I'll bet you tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and go, hey, it's Tuesday already. Because that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. So get over it. Yeah, there's a lot of things happened over the weekend. It's February 15th here. That happened. The 13th and the 14th happened over the weekend. It was Happy Valentine's Day to those of you that I missed, which would be all of you, because I didn't say Happy Valentine's to any of you. I didn't send you any of you a card. So to all those people, to everyone, Happy Valentine's Day belated. That's my show for you today. A few things happened on Saturday and over the weekend. And now looking into the next week, what's going to happen now with the Trump derangement syndrome people that are still rabidly finding their identity and hating Trump? The whole identity of the left for the last 4 years, 5 years, has been, we are the party that hates Trump. And that has defined them so much now to the point that they are now kind of stuck in that mode. And it seems like they have no way out. They don't know, they're not sure how to find their way out of that mess. Kind of like an old man walking around the grounds of the White House. Not sure whose dogs those are running around beside him, or who that lady is that keeps following him around, making sure he doesn't walk off somewhere. I'm not talking about my house, by the way, just so those of you who aren't sure about that. I'm not saying that doesn't, I cannot confirm nor deny that that happens at my house, but I'm just saying it happens at a certain place that rhymes with Washington, D.C. So I have got this, oh my goodness, there's so much going on. We have, first of all, yes, for those of you who haven't heard, President Trump was acquitted by the Senate. 57-43. They need 2/3. They didn't get it. I think they needed another 10 senators. Didn't get it. Well, there were some comments made. And I think it's worth going over those comments. I think what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take a little time and we're going to go back and listen to what Nancy Pelosi had to say as she melted down in front of her distinguished. And of course, we're also going to talk about the closing arguments of the Trump lawyers as they were. some of the things that went on. I don't have the audio, and I might be able to find this before we go on, as we're working here, as I'm juggling everything here, because I don't have a sound engineer. I don't have a really large team here, by the way. It's just pretty much me. And so I don't have much of a team. Because nobody wants to work for nothing, apparently, these days. It's not like when I was a kid growing up, everybody worked for nothing. We just ate dirt and we lived in the snow. It was 2 degrees outside all the time on a good day. We have, there's a lot of things went on. The one of the Trump lawyers was on. I think it was MSNBC. Don't quote me on that. It was one of those legacy media type offshoot type things. Not NBC, but NBCT or QRTNBC, whatever they call it. And it was so on one of those, and he just excoriated them, eviscerated, sliced and diced them, torched them on how they report the news. He called them out better than probably anyone I have heard do in a long time. This guy can communicate his case very well, and he did very well. By the way, it's hot chocolate morning. It's a hot chocolate morning. It's like 10 degrees outside, and it's supposed to get colder. And we're under a snowstorm warning here. So I trudged in here to my... I'm at my main studio. I came in here risking life and limb for you folks this morning. Because I crawled into my little all-wheel drive heated seat car. Drove in here because it was, you know, it's not like I'm being coddled or anything. Yes, and Kamala Harris, I'm going to have to pull together. I've got so many sound bites I've got to pull together, and I probably won't get to all of them today. It's probably going to be tomorrow or the next day, because it just seems like every day there's so many sound bites that just... Oh, I just can't get to them all. But, I got some interesting things I'd like to talk. Maybe I'll have a second show today. I might do that. I might just do a second show, the plus version of this particular day. The weekend roundup, we'll call it. The weekend report after the fact. I don't know if Rabbi Rick is going to be in later today. If Rabbi Rick isn't going to be able to make it in today, for the normal afternoon show, I will definitely potentially put together a few things for this afternoon. Okay, so here's how things are shaping up, and I'll try to cover this in a relatively short amount of time because I have an appointment. It's right now it's 10 o'clock, and I have an appointment 10:10 actually, and I have a phone appointment at 10:30. So I may have to actually, this will be the first time I've ever done the show where I have to actually stop it and continue it at a later time. This is very unusual for me. Normally this runs in real time. I don't do any editing other than maybe the end or the beginning or something. I might do something like to clip it down to where it doesn't have a bunch of blank space or something. Or some strange noise at the beginning or end. If there's a strange noise that happens during the show, that's a plus. That's a bonus. We won't get into what kind of strange noises those might be. All I can say is there's a certain individual in Congress whose name I will not mention that makes strange noises occasionally. I'm not talking about those kind of noises. So we have okay, here we go. So let's get into this. We have, as Brandon Tatum would say, let's get into this. So let's say, we got these things. Okay, let's first of all, this is sticking in my craw quite a bit. This has got me, this gets me worked up, what Mitch McConnell said. So let's talk about that a little bit. And then we'll go into the whole speech with Nancy. We'll break that one down. Because this, what Mitch said, in my opinion, is the reason, well, I'm not going to go there. Or am I? Will I go there? I don't know if I'm going to go there or not. You see, I'm torn. I'm kind of conflicted inside over... There's a fine line. There's a very fine line between people rising up because their government has overstepped its bounds or because their government has become corrupt. You cannot read the founding letters, the Federalist Papers, the quotes from Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton. You cannot read those quotes that they had, that they spoke at the founding of our nation. Before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, before the signing of the Bill of Rights, before the signing of the Constitution. You cannot read the quotes that wrapped around those documents, the things that were being said, the philosophies that were being upheld, the principles and the standards that were being upheld at that time in terms of what our government was to be about, for, of, and by the people, and what that means. We were never meant to have dictators or tyrants or a despot overlord. And it's whether that body is a body of supposedly elected officials or one individual, doesn't matter. Its government in and of itself is not to be that way. So at what point, what does it look like for people to take back their government? And there are those on one side that would say, well, this is the government, the people vote for the government. No, no, that's not. No, the people vote for representatives. The government is still for, of, and by the people. And Nancy makes some interesting comments in this little speech, this little tirade she goes on, that I want to break it down and go, and there's some other things that were said, some other interesting sound bites that have been spoken that I'd like to get into as well. But it's some things that Kamie Harris has said that I would not mind getting into as well, because there's folks, as soon as she steps into the presidency, we've got issues. Now, the Constitution is not explicitly clear. Actually, there is room for saying that Kamie would not necessarily step into the presidency. Not necessarily. She is second in command. So if the president, something happens to the president, she would, it's assumed that she would step into that office. And she does step into that office if something happens. Let's say something happened to Joe, he slips and falls, hits his head, something happens to him today, and he has a stroke or whatever, he's incapacitated. Immediately, Kamie takes over. She now has the football. She now is in control of, she's now the commander-in-chief. However, my understanding is Congress has to approve that. And the Congress can actually put in whoever they want to as president at that point. But they probably won't. I mean, that's never happened before. Now, I think LBJ was the last one that was put in as president after JFK was assassinated. And he remained in office. President Ford, after Nixon resigned, obviously stepped into the position. And that worked well, too. But, I mean, that's how it worked out. It remained that way. But it depends. There's some very fine lines there in the Constitution. I don't know that I don't think they'll overstep that. But I think that there's a constitutional case for saying that the Congress can't actually pick a replacement for the president. I'm not positive on that. I'm not a lawyer, so that's why I have a podcast. If I was a lawyer, I probably wouldn't have a podcast. I'd be making way too much money. So, probably not, actually. I guess I wouldn't be you have to be a good lawyer, or not necessarily good in the moral sense, just really good at what you do. There's a difference there. We have so let's get right into this. Let's talk a little bit about. Hopefully, you can hear this. I hope I got this all queued up properly. Here's Nancy, and let's listen to what she has to say about the proceedings and everything that happened here.
When I see all of them, it reminds me that when we recruit candidates to run for office, or we see them self-recruiting, we always say, and they'll say, well, I could be the president of my university, or I could be the head of my hospital department, or this or that. And so I have to think about whether I run for Congress. We always say, we don't want anybody without options.
Okay, let's talk about this little statement. Catch what she's saying here. And I'm going to replay this because who's she talking about here? Pay very close attention to what she's saying here. Who is picking the candidate and who's deciding to run and who makes the decision as to who they want to have run for an office? This is very telling, extremely telling. She is so enraged with Trump that she is now spilling the beans and saying the quiet part out loud, the thing they will not tell you if you try to run for office with a particular party. They lock down the party. Whether you self-run or whether you go through the little part, you know, the upper echelon of the party, and you have your little, you know, you get approved and groomed by them. Let's listen to this again, what she says here at the very beginning.
When I see all of them, it reminds me that when we recruit candidates to run for office or we...
Now, let me want, I do need to interrupt in this particular point. When I see all of them, she's talking about the Republicans. Now, she came out to talk about the Republicans who voted against the impeachment. In other words, voted for the acquittal, however you want to put it. They voted down that the... voted basically not guilty is how they voted. But let's just... So that's who she's talking about. She's talking about these people who are in office, and she's accusing them of saying that they can't get a job anywhere else. Now, this is rich. This is so rich coming from someone who has worked in Congress longer than they've been alive. I guess that's not possible. They've spent more time in Congress than not during throughout their lifetime. In other words, they've lived more than half of their life in Congress. That's what I'm trying to say. This is very rich for someone who can't get another job or who won't leave. This is someone who clings to power with a death grip, drives their nails deep into the hide of power. This is really rich coming from her. So this is, listen to what she says here.
When I see all of them, it reminds me that when we recruit candidates to run for office or we see them self-recruiting, we always say, and they'll say, well, I could be the president of my university, or I could be the head of my hospital department, or this or that. And so I have to think about whether I run for Congress. We always say, we don't want anybody without options. That's why we're looking to you to run, because you have options. That shouldn't be a reason for you not to.
Okay. Again.
On. Oops. But what we saw...
Sorry about that. Who's the we she's talking about? The we she's talking about are the upper people who make those decisions. So let's say you go down to the local RNC and you say, hey, I want to run for Congress. I want to run for state Congress, whatever it is. Go do that. Try it. It'd be interesting if we had like 10 people in every district, just run down to the local thing and just to see what that's like and report on what you experienced. Well, who are you walking in off the street wanting to run for office here in the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, especially in the Democrat Party? The Democrat Party, they're both bad. Don't get me wrong. They are both bad. I guarantee you the Democrat Party, they pick and choose way more. What's going on there? This is why it's very telling when she says this kind of thing. What's actually going on here? So, again, let's go back. I'm going to try to rewind this a little bit here. It's kind of a little bit difficult with this little, oops, with this little player. Oh, well, that's, isn't that something? I'm just learning how to use a mouse today. There we go. Make that a little bit bigger. Now I can make smaller. I can make adjustments there.
Because you have options, that shouldn't be a reason for you not to run. But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no options.
I don't know if you can tell or not, but she's actually wearing a mask. Can you tell?
Because apparently they have no options.
Now, it's also very telling, and this is what, again, this is what burns me up about the mask thing. When people put on masks, all of a sudden the social distancing thing goes out the window. All of a sudden it doesn't matter at all. You're still breathing the same amount of air. Same amount of air is going in and out of that mask. And a mask does not stop a virus that goes, it's like trying to stop a mosquito going through chicken wire. It does, as long as breath is coming out of that mask, they could potentially have the virus in it. We're thinking of two different kinds of science here. One is bacterial science and the other one is viral science. And viruses are extremely tiny. People don't really understand the difference between the two. And this is where the problem is we have issues where people put a mask on and now think that they're, well, I'm protected. Oh, here I go. I got my protection on. It does not work that way. In fact, it could be worse. There are some types of masks that actually vaporize more of your breath and cause more of a cloud of aerosol vapor around you, which that's where the virus is. So they got all these people standing behind her, her distinguished colleagues, as she calls them, the ones who messed with evidence, tampered with evidence. Big deal in a court of law. This is because, remind you, this is not a court of law. This is not a trial. This is a Senate hearing. They have no prosecutorial powers, which is one of the biggest. They like to pretend like they're in a court. They like to pretend like they're, you know, Perry Mason here, but they're not. She's standing up there with all these guys standing shoulder to shoulder, all these people standing shoulder to shoulder back there with their masks on because that protects them. Social distancing, the 6-foot rule, or even more, protects you way more than a mask will. I guarantee you. That is actual science. They've actually determined that. It's actually 3 feet is where the majority of the 3 feet away is the majority of the benefit, according to the studies. But like in any study, you double that because if the wind is shifting or anything kind of the breeze is blowing, the furnace kicks on or whatever it is that blows, that gives you that extra 3 feet in there that gives you that distance because it might be less on one side than the other. So you, all of a sudden, if 3 feet is good, then if that's in perfectly still air. So she goes on. Let's continue to go on with this. It's interesting. We'll keep listening here.
Apparently have no options because they were afraid to defend their job, respect the institution in which they served. Imagine that it would be vandalized in so many bad ways that I won't even go into here.
Okay, again, she's really, she's kind of jumping all over the place. And this kind of shows you that she is operating right now out of an emotional tirade. She's talking about the Capitol. I guess she's talking about the Capitol being vandalized. This is where she kind of starts to spread off into many different lines that is kind of hard to follow. She's talking about the Capitol being vandalized. Now, this is the same lady who, when public property statues were being torn down by hordes of people. I don't care too much about statues. I don't care too much about statues. Okay, those statues are just as much as a part of the community property of the society as the Capitol building. Here's the difference. Here's when it makes a difference. It's when it's their butts on the line. When somebody's busting into their home, when somebody's threatening them, that's when the problem happens. It's not an issue of the sacred, hallowed walls of the Temple of Democracy. Now, I've heard some people since then have said Citadel of Democracy. I don't know. I suppose that's a better way of putting it. I don't like the Temple of Democracy thing because it implies that we have some kind of religious thing going on, which is exactly what's going on, actually, because government on the leftists, they basically think that government is to take the place of God, and the Democrat Party is their religion. And I'm sorry, if you're a Christian on the left, I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry that you feel that way. But that's the party you've attached yourself to. Now, the Republicans, don't get me wrong, they have plenty of issues going on. Especially the establishment Republicans, because they prey on the religious right. They use the religious right. Not all of them. Some of them are, you know, I've been to Paul Wilbur concerts. I've seen some of them sitting there beside me. I know that there are some that are genuinely there because they do go to church and they do believe. They don't just attend because the cameras are on. In fact, they would just assume that the cameras wouldn't be on. So there's some genuine folks out there. Don't get me wrong about that. But there's also some that use that to the extent that they can to sway you. And so when we talk about the hallowedness of the, you know, Nancy Pelosi all of a sudden has this righteous indignation about how our Capitol was attacked. And we'll get into that a little bit later. There's a whole lot going on here that it may take a lot more, because I'm really getting upset about what happened on the day on the 6th was, yeah, okay, there were some people that got out of control. They got stirred up, and I don't think it was the president. I think everybody, including the president, we were all pretty mad. I would say at least half of the 74 million plus voters that voted for Trump, at least half of them, at least 35 million people out here in this country, are pretty ticked off. We're pretty ticked off that the day after the election, because they could keep what they did all night long, and I watched it happen, they would not allow the electoral count to be seen as Trump being ahead at any point. They continued, they wouldn't call states that Trump had or that it looked like he was going to get. They kept them blue. They wouldn't even, there's like two different ways that they would have the states in the little state map. They would have like a faint red color and then a solid red once it was called. And they would have a faint blue and a solid blue. And when they had the everything stayed pretty much as they could, they would keep things faint blue. The states that they thought were in play, that they planned on having in play. However you want to look at that. And they would not allow, even though the count was higher, they would not allow that optic to be seen. They knew that people are out there taking screenshots of stuff. They didn't want that to happen. When they really got caught was when it was live and people were recording live. They were DVRing this stuff. And they saw the counts flip right on the screen. Or Biden's numbers would jump right on the screen, right in front of your eyes. That stuff's out there, folks. They're calling it a correction. Well, there was a correction. What? Well, precincts just happened to report. You don't get that kind of switch in a precinct change. It is really rare to go over 70% difference in a precinct. By the way, MTG had 75% of the vote in her precinct, in her district. And they're spitting in her face and the face of everybody who voted for her in Georgia. But I digress. So now Nancy is claiming to be so, oh my goodness, this is such an attack on our democracy. Because she is the democracy, I guess. I don't know. She's been there for 50 million years. I don't know how long she's been there even. I don't really care. You know how long she's been there? Too long. You know how long Mitch McConnell's been there? Too long. But I digress. Let's continue on here with Nancy's wonderful speech, full of passion and glorious constitutional affection.
And that they would not respect their institute, that the president of the Senate, Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, was the chant, and they just dismissed that.
No, they didn't dismiss that, Nancy. The problem is, this was not these people who said those things and the people who broke into the Capitol are not the people you're trying here. Did President Trump tell them to do that? Did President Trump tell them? See, here's the problem. The articles that were sent over from the House with no investigation, the House is supposed to conduct the investigation. The Senate is supposed to conduct the trial. This is how this is supposed to go. This is how it's laid out. This is how a lawyer told me this is the way it's put together. The House conducts the investigation. They're the ones who call witnesses. They're the ones who put all this together, and they bring the articles of impeachment, which include high crimes and misdemeanors, to the Senate to go over the evidence, not to present evidence, to look at the evidence, and then take a vote. That is not what they did at all. Nancy was so inflamed and had to get this done so quickly, she knew she had the votes, so there was no hearings. She just simply made it happen. We're taking a vote, we're sending it to the Senate. And then she blames McConnell for not having a special session of Senate to have an impeachment trial. It wouldn't have turned out any differently, by the way. It would not have turned out any differently. In fact, it would have been, there was actually more senators that were Republicans at that time. They actually had a higher majority in the Senate, which, of course, that's all Trump's fault, too. The reason they lost seats in the Senate was because of Trump. They're not going to give credit to Trump for the seats that they gained in the House. I think it's ironic that Georgia was the place where there was two runoffs. And by the way, the Republicans who are siding with the Democrats on this are in a really bad situation back home. I'm surprised that people aren't meeting them at the airport with pitchforks and tar buckets and feathers, chicken feathers, some kind of feathers. There's a pretty nasty letter sent to Mr. Cassidy from the Republican Party in Louisiana, however you want to pronounce that. Pretty bad. I digress. Let's keep going. Here's the thing. These people were chanting, hang Mike Pence. Well, then impeach them, Nancy. Impeach the people who were chanting that, because Trump never said that. But you're wanting to impeach him because of something someone else said. I can find plenty, plenty of Democrats and organizations that support Democrats and that Democrats support in ridiculous ways, like bailing them out of jail after committing crimes. I can find plenty of them who've said vicious things towards police and other politicians. Vicious. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Only good cop is a dead cop. Chanting things like that. But that doesn't bother you. Oh, people are going to do what they're going to do. That's what you say. I'm not going to go down the, you guys are full of hypocrisy. Now, when the lawyers did a good job of really calling them out on the hypocrisy issue, and when it's there for everybody to see, and it's actually, they kind of cower back from that a little bit. They actually do, they will retract a little bit or recoil a little bit when it's really pointed out, and they can't get away with it. They can't hide it anymore. But up until then, they don't really care. Because again, the end justifies the means. And that literally is their creed. They don't care about hypocrisy because they know the media will not call them out on it. Because they have the same creed. Their self-righteous virtue leads them to the point where they believe that no matter what it takes to have it to get their way, they are right. And they don't care. They don't care a smidgen. Not that we live in a democracy. We use a democratic process to represent, to elect representatives to protect us and our individual rights that the Constitution has been given to us for. The Constitution recognizes our rights as sovereign individuals. It doesn't give us rights. It recognizes our rights and basically places within the hands of government the responsibility to protect those rights. We come together as a nation for, of, and by the people to have those rights protected, and we send representatives to make sure that they don't encroach on those things. And these people are hungry and drunk with power.
Why? Because maybe they can't get another job. What is so important about any one of us? What is so important about the political survival of any one of us?
Look, this is Rich. Again, this is Rich with Nancy saying this. She's saying that these senators voted to acquit because they can't get a job anywhere else. They want to protect their job so badly. Well, so Nancy, what you're saying is if they would have voted to impeach, that means that they would have lost their job? They would have gotten voted out? And here's something else that Cassidy said when he was confronted by a news media organization. They asked him, they said, we understand that when you went back to Louisiana, they read him the letter, that they read the letter on air as they were asking him this question. They said, you know, what is your opinion of this? And basically he said, well, I saw things, I was privy to things that the public wasn't able to see.
You got all that inside information that we can't, the regular peons out here can't see. We don't understand really the depth of what was going on behind the scenes. Because you believe everything that the Democrats are telling you about what went on behind the scenes.
We know enough about the big things that happened that make this absolutely asinine. It is absolutely an atrocity to continue on in this thing. It makes me more and more angry. Especially when you hear what Mitch McConnell has to say about this. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's continue on with Nancy. So Nancy is saying these people can't get a job anywhere else, so they have to hold on to their seat in government. This is Rich coming from Nancy Pelosi, who has done everything that she possibly can to claw onto her little position in her place
in the house. As her daughter most eloquently said, she can cut your head off before you even know you're bleeding. Or she can cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding. Yeah, that's real sweet lady. Here she is again.
That is more important than our Constitution that we take an oath to protect and defend. But why I came over was...
Of course, she has to throw in the word Constitution there because she knows that polls well, that focus groups well. That word Constitution always works well for her. Our Constitution. We have to protect our Constitution.
Because I listened to Mitch McConnell.
So now she's explaining. She's going to go into explaining why she came over to this news conference and why she wanted to step in front of everybody and speak, because her distinguished colleagues apparently weren't going to say what she needed to say. So she's going to step in there and give her 2 cents worth as well. So she's basically butting into this meeting. Actually, she wasn't even supposed to be in this press conference. She came over to make this statement, and because she this and now she's explaining why this is what motivated her because of Mitch McConnell. This is what he said.
Who, when this distinguished group of House managers.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but she had a hard time explaining this distinguished group of House managers behind her. She's having a difficult time saying exactly what she needed to say there. She's thinking this distinguished group of I think the word she's looking for is this bogus, illegitimate group of criminals standing behind her. I think that's what she meant to say. I'm going to interpret for her. Okay, I'm going to take a little liberty there. I'll just interpret that for her. I think that's what she's trying to say. Because I know that sometimes she has a hard time explaining what she's trying to say because she's drunk. So I'll try to get it out there for her. I'll just give you my take on it. This is interpretation.
We're gathered on January 15th to deliver the articles of impeachment. We're told it could not be received because Mitch McConnell had shut down the Senate and was going to keep it shut down until the inauguration. So for him to get up there and make this indictment against the president and then say, but I can't vote for it because it's after the fact that he established that it could not be delivered before the inauguration. Now, when you think about January 6th, between January 6th and January 20th, you're only talking about just under 2 weeks, a day under 2 weeks. So
she can do math.
The big lies, stop the steal, the big lie that you talked about, stop the steal, was the momentum for getting these people there on the 6th. They honestly believe, for whatever reason, maybe too much social media, whatever.
Yeah.
Watch social media.
Yeah, because social media was letting us talk about it, Nancy. No, it's just quite the opposite, actually. It wasn't because of social media. People weren't upset because social media. People were upset because we were getting silenced from social media. We were getting shut down by news people who would not talk, being called liars. Kellyanne McEnany, whatever I can, Kellyanne, whatever, Kellyanne McEnany, was up there just suggesting that there were voter irregularities. And Neil Cavuto could not, in good countenance, whatever that means. I think he meant good consciousness. Good countenance? Countenance. Maybe he's incontinent. Could not, in good conscience, he said countenance, but I don't think that's what he meant. Allow her to continue to talk. Because now, we can't let her keep talking about that, because she's talking about election fraud. Those are some wild allegations. No, they're not. You let the left go on for 4 years about wild allegations about all kinds of crap that we knew was not real. No, she's suggesting that there may have been some hanky-panky. Let her shut her down. We're not going to listen to that.
Or the president would start to talk, oh, we're going to talk over him. We're not going to let him talk at all. Yeah, yeah. Let us decide, okay? You're the media. It's like you can't let us think for ourselves. And that's exactly what you think. That's exactly the way you are. That is exactly the problem right there. You can't just let the events happen, let people say what they want to say, and then let us decide. This is why the fairness doctrine, the what do they call it, the I don't know, equal time act or whatever it's called. That's why this doesn't work, because it brings in more control, and then the question is who's pushing the control buttons. So here's Nancy again, because I know you miss her.
That movie. Why were they thinking that was true, that the election was not legitimate?
Because
whatever the reason the president told them.
Yeah,
so,
that's the only reason. Only reason we believe that the election wasn't legitimate was because the president told us it wasn't. That was the only reason. I up until then I thought the election was perfect. I didn't realize there were any problems until all of a sudden the president said, "Well, this wasn't a legitimate election." Oh, well, I guess it wasn't then. I thought it was. I thought it was perfectly normal for people to pull out boxes of ballots after everybody sending everybody home and start running them through the tabulation machines. I thought that was perfectly normal when I saw that with my own eyes. I thought it was perfectly normal when I saw a jump of 600,000 votes in the middle of the night when people there were supposedly not counting at that time. That was perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal for them to shut down and not count in the middle of the night. And then wake up in the morning and all of a sudden, look at that. The outcome was all totally different. And, election's over. Done. Nothing to see here. No interference. The cleanest election ever. Speaking of cleanest election ever. A fellow by the name of Cribs. I think it's Christopher Cribs. Christopher Cribs. I think Krebs. Krebs, maybe. I think it's spelled K-R-E-B-B, I think. Chris Cribs? Krebs? He was the guy in charge of all of the cyber intelligence, kind of the overseer of cyber intelligence, I think, in the country. He was supposedly looking over that, all that stuff. Now, this guy looks familiar to me, and I don't know why he looks familiar to me. He's a long-haired guy in a suit, and he was called into some of the hearings, some of the state hearings, and as a cyber expert. And all he did was give platitudes and comments and say that, oh, no, everything was fine. Now, keep in mind, this guy was fired because of the whole SolarWinds thing. The SolarWinds hack happened during all this stuff going on. It actually started about a year ago. But it all led up to this major thing that was going on at the same time the election was going on. SolarWinds, if you look into that a little bit, even a little bit, you'll find that Christopher Cribs was kind of in the, he was kind of in the middle of that whole thing. And of course, there's questions now as to whether or not, you know, there's some kind of money trail there that needs to be looked at. It was a huge cyber attack, and it got into military installations. It got into all kinds of things, and it's medical stuff, all kinds of things. A lot of medical companies use SolarWinds as the kind of their firmware stuff. It's involved in a lot of things. And I guess it got into the system through updates. So it's a very complicated thing, but let's just say that Christopher Cribs was involved in all that. And so here he is being interviewed. He basically was standing on the side of the folks that said there was no shenanigans in the voter election stuff on the state levels. And yeah, he's a guy who has zero credibility, in my opinion. In fact, he looks like Antifa in a suit, in my opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion. That's what he looks like to me. This guy looks like he should be at a radical left-wing AOC rally. That's what he looks like to me. That's just what I see when I see him, okay? That's my opinion. I don't know. Maybe the guy's, you know, he's definitely establishment Republican. He's not, if he's a Republican, he's an establishment Republican. He is not a conservative, and there's a difference between a Republican and a conservative. He is not a conservative Tea Party liberty individual, constitutional guy. He can claim he is. He's not. So, again, I digress. Let's back to Nancy.
A week later, we impeach in the House. Thank you to those of you who participated right away. Jamie Raskin, Ted Lieu, and David Cicilline, they had it all written up and ready to go.
Yeah, they had it all written up for 4 years. Actually, probably for 5 years. They got an impeachment through the House so fast, the fastest ever in the history of humankind, which should tell you something. Not one witness, not one hearing, not one ability to speak out in terms of what actually happened that day. You need to call the witnesses who actually committed the crimes to find out why they committed them. Let's get and see, this is why they didn't allow witnesses for the Senate trial.
Bipartisanly passed the House, and then 2 days later, ready with the case.
Of course, they make a big deal out of this bipartisan thing in the House. Now, you realize there are some Republicans that are just Republicans. There's some rhinos. It's a bipartisan. If I recall, they may have even had a Democrat vote against this thing. I can't remember for sure. But, you know, they make a big deal out of it. If it's along party lines that it's just, but if there's a Republican involved, oh, now see, it becomes a balanced thing because there's a Republican. Well, think about that. Mitch Romney. He's a Republican. Yeah. Right.
To take to the Senate. Oh, we can't receive it. Not a question. And then by the law, you're supposed to receive it and the next day start the trial. So for Mitch McConnell,
I don't know that that's true. I think what she just said there, that the Senate has to start the next day to start the trial. I don't know where that is in the procedures. That does not show up in the articles within the Constitution. So I don't know what she's talking about there. If there is something there, then it must have been an amendment or something, some kind of procedural practice, maybe that I don't know. I can't find that. Maybe somebody can. If you know where that's at, please let me know, because I can't find it anywhere.
The situation where it could not have been heard before the 20th, or even begun before the 20th in the Senate, to say all the things he said, oh my gosh, about Donald Trump and how horrible he was and is, and then say, but The time that the House chose to bring it over. No, we didn't choose. You chose not to receive it. So I think that's really important. And again, it doesn't matter, as Jamie and others have told us. You can have the case after the person is out of office. So it's an elementary discussion. The Senate ruled in that way.
No, the Senate ruled on something that has yet to be proven constitutional. Here, and this gets into the whole issue again, and I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again, just like I'm going to always bring up the election every day. Because you cannot have a group of criminals voting on whether or not they are committing a crime. We have three branches of government. The judicial branch
is supposed to participate in this procedure. They're supposed to oversee it via the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. If the Chief Justice backs out, what's the next person in line? Not a senator. It would be another justice. If the Chief Justice cannot preside because of sickness or whatever happens there, what happens? Who should take his place? A senator? No. The point is, the whole point of having the Chief Justice preside over it is that the justice branch of government is overseeing what the Senate is doing so that there's not this lopsided political hack job going on, which is exactly what this is. It also says very expressly in the Constitution, if they'd read the rules, that it is for the express purpose of removing from office. He's removed from office now. He left office, and you guys are still trying to impeach him. Who's committing the crime here? Who's ignoring the Constitution? Who's hanging on to their power? Who's obliterating the rule of law? Nancy, tell me, what do you think about that, Nancy?
Are you on precedent on this? So it didn't matter, except it was not the reason that he voted the way he did. It was the excuse that he used.
I see that at the end there, she's just stammering. She doesn't know what she's talking about. That's all I have about her thing there. She is just completely stammering. It just,
he didn't take it. He didn't have an excuse in it. Where's my drink?
That's what we're basically seeing there. We're seeing a meltdown of epic proportion where she cannot keep a straight line of reasoning and defense. And she's just throwing a tizzy fit. And unfortunately, in the midst of all that, she lets her cards show. However, nobody's going to call her out on it. Nobody's going to say anything about it. Well, except for me, because maybe I'll say some things about it. Because I'm noticing all these little details and nuances in what she's saying that really, really speak to where she's at and what this whole process is about. So now, enter Chuck Schumer. Da-da-da! They are planning to do something that is even more atrocious. And this is where it really gets, in my opinion, it starts to get really disgusting and frustrating. Because they're just going to continue on. And their goal is to bury President Trump. They want to utterly destroy him. They've wanted to destroy him for a long time, but now that he's out of office and he's just a citizen, they don't want to let up. They want to keep going. It is not going to end. They are going to go after him. And this is where, again, the rights of every man are threatened when the rights of one man are diminished. JFK. They are diminishing the rights of an individual. To go after him, to take away his rights, and I guarantee you, anyone associated with him is going to follow suit after that. They're going to start rooting out anybody else. And again, this is not a trial. This is not a court of law. They're not even conducting this like a court of law. When you bring evidence into a courtroom and you have doctored it in any way, even though it's a minor thing, like change the date of a year or put a blue check mark on something. And there were reasons they changed those dates. There were reasons. It wasn't just, we didn't know what the date was because it was hard to read, so we just put a date on there. That was the date we thought was on there. And they didn't just, and here's the other thing. They did not disclose that they had done those things. I'm sorry, folks. You do that in a regular court of law, that is big trouble. That is big time trouble. Many times it gets the whole case thrown out. And many times it ends up with you in jail for tampering with evidence, for misleading the court. Just saying. And yet, we're supposed to believe that you and your distinguished colleagues who did all that crap are above reproach. Yeah, well.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make? So now this goes into the 14th Amendment and Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer now, before the vote on the acquittal, which they knew was going to happen. Maybe they thought they were actually going to get to sway some Republicans on this. I don't know. They got 7 of them. That's more than I thought they would get. But that's, I knew they would get at least 4 or 5 just because we have some people who don't like Trump, who have their own political agenda and their own political ambitions. And think that the establishment's going to save them at the end of the day. And it will not. The establishment is on its way out. The establishment is talking about starting a second party. Or a third party, I mean. A different party. Let Trump have the Republican Party. The establishment will start this party. And we're going to make it happen. Go ahead. Make my day. Just go ahead. Do it. I would love for them to do it. Because Well, I guarantee you what's going to happen with that. Might as well flush the turds down now. Because that's what needs to happen. Mitch McConnell has now come out, and this sets up Schumer. This is, of course, we're going to discuss how we're going to share power. Mitch McConnell comes out, we're going to talk about how we're going to share power. So I'll guarantee you, this is probably, whether it was spoken or not, don't kid yourself here. Mitch McConnell's been around a long time. Probably, I think he's been in the Senate for 300 years. And Schumer's been there about 247 years, give or take 100 years. These guys are polished politicians. They know they craft their words very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. When you hear what Mitch McConnell had to say, this is going to make your head pop off. Or maybe it won't. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this stuff just affects me. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't affect you guys. But I'll guarantee you there's a reason why Mitch is saying these things and the way he's saying them. Because yeah. There's, we're sharing power now. He's playing, this plays right into Schumer's hands in terms of what he wants to do with the 14th Amendment. Now, let me back up here a little bit and explain to you. The 14th Amendment, I think it's Article 3, Section 3, whatever it is. Section, I think it's 2 or 3. Talks about insurrection and rebellion. Now, anyone who's been convicted of that cannot run for office, cannot hold office, public office, of any really of any kind, state office or federal office. And so they. What they're going to do, and this is where we've gone completely off the rails. Schumer's plan, I think he knows that this isn't legitimate, but he's going to try to do it anyway, because nothing has ever stopped him before. So why would they stop? Why would they stop now? But what Mitch McConnell says here sets up Schumer to be able to tee this off and get it past the public, the American people. The big issue we're going to have here is whether or not this is constitutional or whether it's even legal for them to do this. And I'll get into why my arguments as to why I would say no, it is not. And it's been mentioned many times on the Senate floor as to why that the principle applied here is the reason why this is not valid. So let's listen to Mitch here real quick.
The yeas are 57.
This is Lee talking about.
Two-thirds of the senators present not having voted guilty. The Senate judges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, former president of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the article of impeachment.
So now he wasn't charged at guilt. He wasn't charged with guilt as presented by the articles of impeachment. If you read the articles of impeachment, you'll understand that most of their case relied on speech that led up to the 6th, not the speech that was done on the 6th. However, the impeachment articles of impeachment talked about just the speech that was done on the 6th that incited the riot. It wasn't speech leading up to it, which is what they presented in the case. In the case, everything talked about, oh, well, for months he's been talking about Stop the Steal. He's been talking about all this stuff that led up to the 6th. The articles of impeachment said it was the speech on the 6th. So that was one of their flaws in the way they presented it, which, of course, they did it so quickly they didn't care. It was sloppy. So if you just looked at the articles of impeachment, everything that they presented during the case in the Senate, which shouldn't have been done that way, but that's the way they did it, was that the reason they had a problem with that was because of the whole thing there. I just spilled tea. So, well, that's unusual. I don't know if you heard any of that or not, but that's my keyboard. My keyboard's doing weird things. Like I said, this is live. It's recorded live. So, okay, so let's go back to...
When I see all of them, it reminds me that when we...
Yeah, that's what happens when your keyboard starts to freak out on you. That's what's going to happen here.
The yeas are...
There we go, let's get past this.
Two-thirds of the senators present not having...
Sorry about that, folks.
Guilty. ...recruit candidates to run for office, or we see them self-recruiting.
See, this is...
The Senate judges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, former president of the United States... is not guilty as charged.
So we're going to get into Mitch McConnell's statement here. So we can pull this off real quick before. Here we go.
That President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day.
Events?
No question about it.
No question about it. No question about it.
The people who stormed this building believed they were acting on the wishes and instructions of their president. But in this case, the question is moot because former President Trump is constitutionally not eligible for conviction. I believe the best constitutional reading shows that Article 2, Section 4, exhausts the set of persons who can legitimately be impeached, tried, or convicted. It's the president, it's the vice president, and civil officers.
So, this is Mitch's statement, and I think it bears saying, or it's worth saying, that he's saying without a doubt, the president's words provoked the attack. Trump provoked the attack because of his words. And then I'm gonna read this back as a quote because it's I think it's words matter here. As we've heard from the guy in the White House right now, he says words matter. So he says, and I quote, President Trump, no question about it. President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it.
No question about it, Mitch, that he provoked the actions of the day. Because we've spoken to all the people who committed the acts that day, and they said, yeah, he told us to do it. Have we heard from them? No, we have not. We've been told that's what they said. But that's not what we heard coming from their mouth. Or there's not been a sworn affidavit. There's not been one testimony from any of those people who broke in stating that. And this is why this gets back to the whole thing of the trial. And I want to conclude with this, my conclusion of all this stuff. One, the responsibility of what happened that day falls on the people who committed the action. Period. Having said that, people were not following marching orders from Trump. Okay, let's get that very clear. That's the point I want to make. Unlike the tea that's all over my thing here, my tea is not following my orders. The trial, they had to vote on whether or not they were going to call witnesses. And there's a reason why they voted that down. I mean, you've got a majority of people in the Senate there. Why would they vote that down? All they needed was, they didn't need 2/3 for that. They only needed a majority for that. In fact, I'm not even sure they brought that to a vote because they knew they didn't have the votes. Because here's the problem with that. In fact, Lindsey Graham at one point, maybe they didn't need 2/3. Lindsey Graham at one point was one of the people who said he would not vote he realized that this whole thing was that this whole thing was a sham and that they shouldn't have, voted at all for they shouldn't have even had the impeachment trial to begin with. But his point was, well, we shouldn't start bringing witnesses into this because it's just going to make, it's just going to be a Pandora's box. It's going to be all this, he had all these things he was going to say and all this stuff that was, crazy. But then I think he realized, wait a minute, bringing witnesses into this could change the whole thing. I think at the last minute he realized, oh, this means they're not the only ones who can call witnesses then. We can call witnesses. And Nancy Pelosi had injected herself into this to the point where she can be a witness. Because guess what? It is absolutely true that President Trump offered National Guard troops on the 4th, on January 4th, he offered National Guard troops on his authority to guard the Capitol for the 5th and the 6th. And they turned it down. Capitol Police, the chief Capitol Police officer, was for it. He requested it. He was stonewalled by the powers that be. The powers that be include Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi. Newt Gingrich over the weekend was interviewed. I'm not a big Newt Gingrich man. I am more so lately than I had been before. He seems to have become more, he was a big establishment Republican, and would kind of say whatever he needed to be politically correct. He's not in politics anymore, so he's more of a pundit now. He has kind of come around in terms of what he's saying. So I have to say I'm a little more receptive to hear his opinions. But one of the things he said recently over the weekend, he basically said, look, when I was Speaker of the House, he was constantly in touch with the Sergeant of Arms, the Capitol Police, who were in charge of security over the Congress. Constantly, he said daily in charge. He had daily briefings with them, and he had daily communication with them constantly. And somehow
were to believe that there wasn't any communication somehow with what was going to happen on that day and that they had no influence on what was. He said they would have done whatever if he would have said, we want National Guard troops, we want to be, you know, we want extra force here, whatever, they would have done whatever he asked them to do. He pretty much would have, you know, any kind of security threat that was there, they would have acted on proactively. He said, that's just the way it operates. He said, for them to say that they, one, didn't have any foreknowledge when these things were being planned way ahead of time, and the FBI said they knew that these things were being planned way ahead of time. This whole thing just reeks of a lot of things. See, you could start calling people in, people like John Sullivan, who were anarchists, had been to plenty of rallies for BLM and Antifa, who was there in the White House, in the Capitol building, not the White House, filmed it with his friend. The people who were dressed in certain garb who have yet to be identified, people who were around the in the room that day when Ashley was shot by someone in the White House, in the keep saying White House, in the chamber. Then we have the case of, and this is now finally coming out in the news now, Officer Sicknick was absolutely not bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher. The autopsy apparently is showing that he did have a stroke. Now, the media is not going to bring this out at all. They will not bring this out. He had a stroke, apparently had a blood clot of some sort. The blood clot released and he had a stroke. Kind of like an aneurysm type thing. Had nothing to do with being hit on the head with a fire extinguisher. He only talked about having been pepper sprayed a couple of times, but he was doing fine. That's why he had returned to the precinct. And then collapsed, went to the medic, went to the hospital. Officer Sicknick is an honorable man. He performed his duties to the best of his ability on that day. No reason to impugn him for anything. However, the sick individuals that are using him and lying about his what happened to him and using that to, in my opinion, incite hatred towards Trump, to drum up more issues towards Trump supporters against the people. In my opinion, they are much sicker and more reprehensible than anything else that was done on the 6th. So I leave you with that. I may have another little show today, but we'll try to get Rabbi Rick in here today and discuss some of the things that happened. And I'm sure it'll be a show of a little bit more levity than what my show this morning has been. And I really am troubled by the rhetoric I'm hearing and the approach that they are now talking about doing. And I just want to finish with this one last thing about the whole Schumer thing and the 14th Amendment. The Senate is not a court of law. They cannot vote that President Trump should be charged with a crime, the crime of rebellion or insurrection. They can only rule on whether or not he is guilty of that. In other words, the House should have determined, should have done the investigation on the case, and then the Senate can rule on whether or not that case would be valid reason for impeachment. Now they're saying they want to invoke the 14th
in order to keep him from ever running for office, which is what this is all about. They are doing cartwheels. Now, as a private citizen, even as the president, he should be charged in the court of law with any kind of action that he did to incite a riot or to incite insurrection. And then the Senate can vote then at that point to remove him from the possibility of ever running for office. It's kind of a complicated set of rules. And the judicial system, the judiciary branch, the judicial branch should be involved. It should not just be the House and the Senate, who happen to have the majority right now, who are able to attack a candidate that they don't like. It is absolutely abhorrent. I think this is going to do more to tick people off than anything else they could possibly do. And I think that there's going to be some senators returning to their home states met with some not-so-happy campers, my opinion. So that's all I got to say right now. That's really all I got to say. Believe it or not, I'm almost done saying what I'm going to say. Pretty much done. So here it is, Monday, 2021, February 15th. And this is kind of the way I see it. So again, hopefully Rabbi Rick will be back. Hopefully this podcast will be actually posted before Rabbi Rick gets in here to do the show, because my internet's really slow. And I'm going to go out and play in the snow a while, do some shoveling. We're supposed to have a big storm here tonight. I think it's saying something like 3 feet of snow per hour. I don't know. Maybe I heard that wrong. I don't know what it is. 0 degrees. Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. In the meantime, hope everybody has a great day, great week. We'll see what happens here, how things unfold this week. I'm sure the Senate's not going to give up on the idea of getting rid of Trump, so... Once again, God bless, and have a great day. Keep praying for our nation and our nation's leaders, or the ones we've chosen, or ones who have arrived there anyway. Have a great day, everybody.